Oregon is big on beavers. The state's nickname is the Beaver State. The two-sided state flag has a beaver on the back. There's the Oregon State University beaver sports teams, and on, you get it. But beavers in the wild are not as plentiful as they once were, so a new state law aims to give them a bit of an assist by banning the taking of beavers from a limited list of waterways in Oregon. The law is brand new, not in effect yet. It's House sponsored with State Representative Pam Marsh of Ashland, who joins us by phone. Welcome, Representative Marsh.
Good morning, Jeffrey.
It's good to have you. Representative Marsh is joined by Dr. Srishti Kamal, the Deputy Director of the Western Environmental Law Center. Welcome, Srishti.
Thank you for having me, Jeffrey.
And are you based in Portland or Eugene? I'm not clear.
I am based out of Gresham.
Gresham, okay, close enough to Portland. All right. So, and Srishti, so you've got the PhD in ecology in this group. Give a brief sketch of beavers and what they do when left to their own devices.
I'm happy to. Beavers are known as, a keystone species in ecology. What that means is their impact on their environment is disproportionately larger than their population might suggest. Means they have a much more meaningful impact than some other species on their environment. Beavers are known as ecosystem engineers because they modify their habitat, but in doing so, they create a lot of benefits for many other species and humans, from wildfire resiliency to drought resiliency, and as this law suggests, also water quality.
In the absence of beavers, then, what has happened to the ecosystems they once had a big part in maintaining?
Absolutely. Without beavers, we have seen a decline in wetlands and floodplains in our ecosystems, and those are critical habitats to several imperiled species, including salmon in Oregon. And also with the absence of these floodplains and wetlands, we have seen an increase in wildfire risk, which, of course, harms our ecosystems, but also harms human infrastructure, our homes and communities. And so there is a magnitude of sort of negative impact with the absence of beavers in our ecosystem, and which is why we're trying to restore them in parts of Oregon that need it the most.
And a restoration being needed is the key point here, Representative Pam Marsh. For the self-named Beaver State, Oregon's been a bit ambivalent about the animal, hasn't it?
Indeed. We have really allowed unlimited trapping of beavers on private land. Until 2 years ago, when we passed House Bill 3464, beavers were classified as predators and managed by the Department of Ag. We passed our first piece of legislation 2 years ago to put them under ODFW, recognizing the value, and to have them managed as fur bearers, and to encourage private landowners to seek out some counsel before they just dispatch a beaver that shows up on the land. So that was our first piece of legislation. And then this year, we took to public lands and impaired waterways.
And so what essentially does, this is HB 3932, what changes does it make in state law and approaches to the beaver?
Well, what we realized is that Department of Environmental Quality has a list of impaired waterways on public lands. That is, waterways that are degraded from too high a water temperature, sedimentation, dissolved oxygen, and so forth. We know that beavers can be extremely helpful in addressing many or most of those qualities. So what we said is we're going to take the list of impaired waterways that is provided by DEQ, again, only on public land, and we are going to restrict the trapping of beavers in those areas to encourage beavers to repopulate. We know that changing trapping regulations is only one of the strategies that we need to do to get beavers back on the land, but it's a really important first step. So we're pairing the DEQ data with management by ODFW to see if we can encourage those beavers to get back where we want them.
We're talking about beavers and Oregon's new law signed by the governor on June 26th, House Bill 3932, which provides for ends some trapping. We'll get into the details in just a moment. State Representative Pam Marsh of Ashland is with us, the initial sponsor in the House, and Srishti Kamal, the deputy director at the Western Environmental Law Center. If you've got a question or a comment about the process, send an email to jx@jeffnet.org. The email box is open right in front of me. Srishti, let's talk about what. Did you not get enough out of House Bill 3464? Was this always seen as a multiple-step process? What?
Yes, I think you hit the nail on the head there. Policy change is always incremental. So I think that's what we're taking every step that we need to take towards having more beavers on the landscape and restoring Oregon's landscapes. And the 3464, as Representative Marsh said, focuses primarily on private lands, actually exclusively on private lands, whereas 3932 is exclusively on public lands. So we're trying to balance and complement our policies on both type of land ownership here. On public lands, our public lands are supposed to provide ecosystem services that benefit all Oregon's communities. One of those ecosystem services is water quality, good water quality. And unfortunately, Oregon does lag significantly behind on that front. We have over 310,000 miles of big rivers and small streams in Oregon, and close to 120,000 of those miles have been deemed impaired. So it is a significant problem in Oregon, and one that we know that beavers naturally address if you give them the time. And so we're trying to make sure they have the time in a place where they need to do more restoration without getting trapped out first.
How tough a case can this be to make? When you were talking about impaired ecosystems earlier, you know, floodplains and wetlands and things like that, these are places that people often find annoying because their cars get stuck or their houses get flooded.
That's a good point. I think that when you're looking at natural ecosystems like floodplains and wetlands, their services are significantly more than the potential of impact. And when there is a potential of impact, there is, of course, also mitigation measures for that. However, we're talking mostly on public lands, again, in this case, where there is less of human habitation in those places or less of agricultural practices, which is also where beaver impacts can conflict with human land use, like agricultural crops. So I think for public lands, this is especially more important that they have the kind of ecosystems we need that serves both human communities, but also several other natural communities, other wildlife species and imperiled species that depend on these particular ecosystems like wetlands and riparian vegetation for their survival.
Representative Pam Marsh, the bill itself for 3932 is fairly slender, not even three pages. Mm-hmm. Is impaired waterway, as you intended to be identified, defined in there?
Impaired waterway is defined by DEQ with a number of different measures. So the factors, I listed some of them a few minutes ago, high water temperature, sedimentation, dissolved mm-hmm. oxygen level, biocriteria, and so forth. So it's a defined measure that DEQ uses to identify impaired waterways.
But is there further rulemaking required to put 3932 completely into effect?
No, it's actually pretty straightforward. We're going to take the list, and that's why the bill had no fiscal, which is probably why we were able to get it through in a year when we had a very tight budget. So we already have a list of defined impaired waterways from DEQ. We're going to ship that over to ODFW. ODFW will make maps that clearly indicate to beaver trappers what areas are protected from trapping. And those, all that data will be updated on a regular basis because waterways may go off the impaired list, in which case the waterway would open back up to trapping. This is an ongoing process, but it's one that we can do with data we already have in hand. So it was sort of perfect.
If listeners are wondering if we're going to have a discussion of the larger ramifications of the legislative session, the answer is yes. That'll be on Thursday's Jefferson Exchange. We have a conversation pending there. Right now we're talking to State Representative Pam Marsh about beavers. Pam Marsh of Ashland was the initial sponsor of House Bill 3932, signed into law 2 weeks ago. Our other guest is Srishti Kamal, the Deputy Director of the Western Environmental Law Center. And this is a conversation you can take a part in with your emails to jx@jeffnet.org. So the way the bill is written, Srishti, is this a sometimes yes, sometimes no situation? Can you remove a beaver from a non-impaired waterway on public land?
Yes. To answer your question specifically, yes, you can. You can also remove them of impaired waterways on private lands because this only applies to public lands. As Representative Marsh mentioned, there are criteria for listing these waterways as impaired. This includes the Federal Clean Water Act, but also federal EPA recommendations that our state DEQ follows. So these waterways are evaluated every 2 years based on data that DEQ collects from various partners and institutions that are able to supply this data to them. So if every 2 years when they revisit this list, if a stream or a river comes off that list, that means it's automatically back open to trapping again. And that does happen. Streams do come off this list as much as they get added to this list. So it is a dynamic list of waterways that is revisited every 2 years by DEQ, who will then hand this data over to ODFNW so that they can inform their trappers of which streams are impaired versus not and where trapping is allowed versus not.
And what was the figure you gave, something like 20,000 miles of impaired waterways?
Oh, we have over 120,000.
Oh, 120,000.
Mm-hmm. Of which this bill will affect about 106,000, a little over 106,000 miles of waterways. DEQ has data for only 46% of the state, so more than half of the state has not even been surveyed. So there are more waterways possibly that are impaired. We just don't have the data for them.
And what do we know about the presence of beavers or not on most of those impaired waterways?
That's a good question. We do not necessarily as a state have data on beaver population or distribution over time. So with 3464, that was one of the big changes we brought in 2023 was because we lacked that data completely on private lands. And we do have some data on public lands, but we don't necessarily know where our beavers are on public lands or where they need to be. So part of the fact that a much lesser trapping happens on public lands, we take that as an indicator for the fact that we do have less beavers where we need them on public lands. And so, for example, ODFNW's data from last year showed that only 4% of trapping is happening on public lands. And that is not because people don't want to trap on public lands, it's because there's less opportunities possibly. And so that's another indicator for us that we do have less beavers on public lands than we optimally would like to have.
So, Pam Marsh, to be clear, this is not a beaver distribution bill. There's nothing in here about putting beavers into waterways, is there?
No, it's really about preparing the waterways for the beavers by taking away the potential for eliminating them through trapping if they show up. And we know that more needs to happen. We need to do habitat restoration. There is a potential for transferring beavers that are found in places where they're less welcome to places up in the forest where they are needed. I've had the chance to go on one of those restoration adventures a year ago where we actually placed beavers that are now thriving in an area up in the forest. So this is just the beginning, but it's a really important beginning because we want to eliminate the potential for dispatching beavers before we start the process of trying to get them settled in.
So, all right. So I'm glad you discussed the ecological part of it. I was going to ask if you had done some field work out there, and you have. But it's on the political end, it seems like help beavers in the beaver state would be an easy lift. But the bill in both houses pretty well split along party lines. What happened there?
Well, there is a contingent of beaver trappers who were worried about the beavers, the impact on trapping. As Tristy indicated, only about 4% of trapping currently happens on public land. So we think the impact will be minimal on the trappers, but there is concern that this might be the first step toward restricting them in some way. That's not our intention. We don't have a next step in mind, but people were understandably concerned about that.
You don't have a next step in mind, but Sristi Kamal, I mean, are there things that you can see at Western Environmental Law Center that might be a logical next step in beaver protection or advancement in Oregon?
Absolutely. Maybe not in the lines of prohibiting trapping, but more in the lines of how do we have better policies that reflect the benefits of beavers as opposed to the potential impact of beavers. All of our policies, because beavers are not an imperiled species themselves, are focused on the potential of harm to human communities. That's why 3464 was needed in the first place. But at the same time, what we don't have in our policy narrative is how are we maximizing the benefits that beavers bring to our ecosystem, whether it's wildfire risk, whether it's drought mitigation. And like 3932 is a first step towards really sort of solidifying one of those benefits. But we can definitely do more.
All right. We'll see what else comes on down the road. But the bill is not yet in effect. That's 3932, just signed into law by the governor on the 26th of June. Pam Marsh, state representative from Ashland, was the initial sponsor in the House. Representative Marsh, always good to talk to you.
It's great to be here.
And Srishti Kamal, deputy director of the Western Environmental Law Center, thank you for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you so much for having me.